normally I would do a Hey-O style intro, but I'm obviously not going to do that because I'm just going to record these one at a time. This is the first one, you know, off the gates. Okay, so the Tales to Give You Goosebumps books have all the skeleton on the cover. That's name was Curly. His name's Curly because he doesn't have hair, but he does have a pink mohawk, right? So that's what that came from. Remember when I was saying I wanted a Goosebumps tattoo of that skeleton?
Yes.
So these are the book series, except for this one is the compiled series of the first three books, which doesn't have him on the cover for some... They don't plan these fucking things.
I like that cover.
I do like that cover, too. I was just going through these. By the way, the person you're hearing in the background is my girlfriend, Connie.
Hey.
Who's laying in bed, smoking a joint, and listening to me read Goosebumps. Well, I'm drinking some rot gut vodka mixed with Jarritos Club Soda. That's cutting down calories. And then with the Jarritos Mandarin. Anyway, I'm just going to read these. The point is, when I was thumbing through them, I went through the first, trying to see how long this one would be. And it was like, oh, it's exactly seven. Oh, whatever. It's exactly seven pages. And I'm like, huh, I wonder if the next one will be seven pages. Thumb through. Yep. Thumb through. Yep. So, all right, it's 14 pages. Seven turns, but still. He's a calculating motherfucker. It's all formulaic. Anyway, I don't know what to do, because, you know, normally I sing the titles of the chapter numbers, but it just says titles of these.
Well, sing the title.
The House of No Return. That's where I'm going to put my grandma when she's old. Get it? Because she's already dead. Suck on that. We were afraid to go too close to the house, so we stayed down at the street, staring up at it, staring across the bare, sloped front yard. No grass would grow in that yard, so play in the mud, am I right? The trees, gnarled and bent, were all dead. Not even weeds sprouted in that dry, cracked dirt. Day dog. You'd be bummed if ain't no trees sprouting, am I right? Or weeds? I fucked that one up. Damn it! Damn it! At the top of the sloping yard, the house seemed to stare back at us. The two upstairs windows gaped like two unblinking black eyes. The house was wide and solid looking, like your mom! Built of bricks. Many years ago, the bricks had been painted white, but now the paint was faded and peeling. Spots of red brick showed through like bloodstains. Like bloodstains. The window shutters were cracked. Several had fallen off. The beams of the front porch tilted dangerously. A strong wind could blow the porch over. No one lived there. The house had been empty for years and years. All these books take place... So, R.L. Stine's from Ohio. Mm-hmm. Which is a notoriously shitty place to live. So, he grew up in, you know, the Midwest area where they still have abandoned houses. And a lot of Goosebumps is based on that. But we live in fucking San Diego where real estate actually has value, you know? It's not people moving to get the fuck away like it is Ohio. So, we didn't live anywhere with abandoned houses.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not a thing that we had on a block. We had places that were like... about to be sold. But it's just weird. That's a big part of Goosebumps books because it's part of his childhood. But it's not a thing that we fucking know, you know?
Yeah.
But that's why there's also no black kids in Goosebumps books. Because R.L. Stine doesn't know about them either. No one could live there. The house was haunted. Everyone in town said it was. Everyone knew the legend of the haunted house. If you spent the night inside it, you would never come out. You'd have to pretend you were straight forever. That's why we brought kids there. That's why we dared them to go inside. You couldn't join our danger club unless you stayed in the house by yourself for an hour. Staring up at the house, bathed in a haze of pale moonlight, I shivered. I zipped my windbreaker up to my chin and crossed my arms over my chest. That's the sound I make when I cross my arms. How long has he been in there, Robbie? Nathan asked me. Lori and I both raised our wrists to check our watches. Only 10 minutes, I told Nathan. 50 minutes to go, Lori said, adding nothing to the conversation, obviously. Obviously, we all know there's 60 minutes an hour, Lori. Think he'll make it? Doug is pretty brave, I replied thoughtfully. I watched the moon disappear behind a cloud. Ow-woo! He might last another 5 minutes, I said, grinning. Lori and Nathan snickered. The three of us felt safe down here by the street. Poor Doug probably didn't feel too safe now. He was shut inside the dark house, trying to stay there an hour so he could join our club. This is the pussiest gang initiation ever. You know? When Franklin joined my gang, I had to stab him. That's why he doesn't have balls anymore. I turned and saw a light rolling silently over the street, coming toward us. A white, ghostly light. My breath caught in my throat. It's a car, I realized, as it floated closer. A car with only one headlight. The driver was probably Hispanic. The car we'd seen on the street all night. The beam from the headlight washed over my two friends and me, forcing us to shield our eyes. It would be funny if it was just a motorcycle and they were dumb. This magical half car with only one headlight and no roof. A motorcycle is just half a car. It's like half a convertible. I'm gonna go on. That was a stupid point I made. As it passed, we turned back to the house and heard a shrill scream, a wail of terror. Here he comes, Nathan cried. Sure enough, Doug burst out through the front door. He stumbled off the crumbling porch and came tearing across the dead, bare yard. His hands waved wildly in front of him, his head was tilted back, and his mouth was frozen open in one long, high shriek of fright. Aye! Doug, what did you see? I called. Did you really see a ghost? Something touched my face, he wailed. He ran right past Nathan, Lori, and me, screaming his head off. Probably only a spider web, I murmured. Robbie, we've got to stop him, Lori cried. Doug, hey, Doug! We called his name and chased after him. Our sneakers slapped loudly on the pavement and lit up the entire ground because this was the 90s and clearly we were wearing LA gear. Mm-hmm. Wait, kids are wearing those again, huh?
I don't know what kids are wearing.
You got nephews?
They ain't cool.
They're totally cool.
They're super cool.
They hang out with me and we talk about Goosebumps. Waving his arms frantically and screaming, leaning into the wind, Doug kept running. We couldn't catch him. He'll run home, I said breathlessly. I stopped and leaned over, pressing my hands against my knees, trying to catch my breath. That's always funny when fat guys do that move in movies. Up ahead, we could still hear... Idiot. Poor Doug's frightened wail. Guess he doesn't join the club, I said, still breathing hard. What do we do now? Nathan asked, glancing back at the house. I guess we find another victim, I replied like a creepy douche. Do you see what this is, Connie? In the book? There's an extra space there. You know what that's called?
Mm-hmm. What?
In literary terms. You know, I do have an advanced degree in English. Okay. That's why I read Goosebumps. I don't have a degree in English. This is called a drinking break. It indicates that time has passed and that you should drink. It's built into a lot of books. It's a drinking game. That's always a good sign. That's been built into literature since the beginning of time.
Interesting.
That I invented.
Ha 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 ha!
Point is, it's a drinking break and it's in Goosebumps. It indicates time has passed. Chris Wakely seemed like a perfect victim. His family had moved to town last summer, and Chris started in my sixth grade class in September. Chris had pale blue eyes and very short white blonde hair. He was kind of shy, but he seemed like a really nice guy. One day after school, I saw Chris walking home, and I hurried to catch up with him. It was a windy October day. All around us, red and yellow leaves were falling from the trees. It looked like it was raining leaves. Like it was raining leaves. I didn't have a joke. That was just stupid. I said hi to Chris and started telling him about our club. I asked if he would like to join. It's only for brave people, I explained. In order to join, you have to spend an hour at night inside the house on Willow Hill. Chris stopped walking and turned to me, squinting at me with those pale blue eyes like a Chinaman. Isn't that house supposed to be haunted? He asked. I laughed. You don't believe in ghosts, do you? Asshole. He didn't smile. His expression turned serious. The light seemed to fade in his eyes. I'm not very brave, he said softly. We started to walk again. Our sneakers crunched on the leaves strewn over the sidewalk. We'd really like you to join the club, I told him. This is how people convert people to the gay agenda, too. You know? First, you start listening to Lady Gaga. You know, then you wear V-neck shirts. And eventually, you're Fred. That joke's only funny if you know Fred. You're brave enough to spend 1 hour in an empty house, aren't you? He shrugged and lowered his eyes. I don't think so, he stammered. I've always been afraid of monsters and things, he admitted. I believed there was a monster living under my bed until I was 8. By the way, just sitting alone in a house seems shitty enough. You know? I can't poop without my phone. These kids had nothing, just sitting there with their thoughts all scared. I laughed, but his expression remained solemn. He wasn't kidding. When I go to a scary movie, Chris continued, I have to duck under the seat when the scary parts come on. Lori and Nathan came running up to us. Are you going to do it? Nathan asked Chris. Are you going to join the club? Chris shoved his hand deep into his jeans pocket. Did you guys spend an hour in the house? He asked. I shook my head. We don't have to. I told him, we started the club, so we don't have to go in the house. That's not fair. Mm-mm. That's some old bullshit. That's why I don't vote. We already know we like danger. New members have to prove themselves. Chris chewed thoughtfully at his lower lip. He turned the corner and kept walking. The house was up the hill at the end of the block. We stopped in front of it and stared across the bare front yard. See, it doesn't look scary at all in the daytime, I said. Chris swallowed hard. Needs a paint job, he muttered. And how come all the trees died? No one to take care of them, Nathan said. That's not true. What about forests? No one takes care of forests but God. Did God turn his back on this house, Conchetta? And it, just in case you know, listeners, I'm joking. Clearly, there's no God. And no one to take care of them, Mason said. How about it, Chris? I urged. We really need new members. Yeah, Glory agreed. A club isn't much fun with only 3 kids in it. Chris had his eyes on the house. He kept his hands jammed into his jeans pocket, presumably playing with his dingle. I thought I saw him shiver, but it might have been the wind rustling his jacket, or maybe he finished. No. That was my favorite joke so far I made. You didn't dig it? It's funny getting the immediate reaction. No, you can keep it doing whatever. I made a joke about beating off.
I was reading.
I'm sorry. You can read. I'll read too.
I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. Will you come with me? He asked. No way, I replied, shaking my head. We can't, Lori told him. The idea of the club is to show how brave you are. We won't come in, Nathan said, but we'll wait out front for you. Come on, Chris, I urged. Do it. It'll be fun. It's almost Halloween. Get in the spirit. He swallowed a couple of times, staring up at the house. Then he shook his head. I really don't want to, he murmured in a low voice, so low I could barely hear him. Hey, it's that joke I like from the Tiki Room. When I sing chapters, someone should chime in and go, hey, Dune, you should sing solo. And then I'm like, yeah, I should sing solo. Solo, I can't hear you. Guess I'm kind of a scaredy cat. I started to plea with him, but I could see he was really embarrassed, so I didn't say any more. Chris waved goodbye and hurried off toward his house. Lori, Nathan, and I watched him until he disappeared around the corner. Now what? Nathan asked. And what do you call that thing?
A drinking space.
A drinking break.
A drinking break.
But close. Now, I have... Oh, that's where I got now. It was in the last sentence before. This one after the break starts with we. I was way off on that. We held a club meeting at my house 2 nights later. It was a pretty boring meeting. None of us could think of another cool kid to join our club, and we couldn't think of anything fun to do. Maybe their club's not as cool as they think it is, and it's just the loser kid club. Probably because they have weird initiation rituals rather than being like, hey, are you into Pogs? I'm into Pogs too. Let's hang out. Which is how it really went down in the 90s. I was there. Halloween is Saturday, I moaned. We should be able to think of something scary to do. What are you going to do? What are you going to dress up as? Lori asked Nathan. Freddy Krueger, Nathan replied. I already bought the metal fingernails. Weren't you Freddy Krueger last year? I asked him, even though I already knew he was totally poor and his parents only bought him a costume once every 6 years. Mm. Was that one sad? It was.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
So, I like being Freddy Krueger, Nathan insisted, with his orange hoodie pulled over his face so you could barely hear him talk. You and every other kid in school, Lori muttered. Lori planned to dress as a vampire, and I had my monster costume already. We need more club members, Lori said, sighing. You can't have a club with just 3 people. Chris would be perfect, I replied, if only he weren't such a scaredy cat. You know, Nathan started, rubbing his chin thoughtfully. It would be really good for Chris to get over his fears. Huh? What do you mean? I asked. I mean, we could help Chris out, Nathan replied, smiling. We could help him be brave. I still didn't understand. Nathan, what are you saying? His smile grew wider. We could force him to go into the house. I don't like... This is all seems rapey.
It's very creepy.
It's all just like, hey, let's force him to do this thing against his will. Hey, oh, you're not cool enough to do it? Oh, just touch it. Oh, just let me put the tip in. Oh, let's force him. I don't like any of that. But that brings us to what's this?
Drinking break.
Yes, it is. I called Chris later that night and invited him to go trick-or-treating with us. He said yes. He sounded grateful to have some kids to go around with. He'd only been at our school for 2 months, and he hadn't made many friends. Now they're just taking advantage of the kid. This all sucks. These kids are douches. The 3 of us met at my house on Halloween. Nathan clicked his long metal fingernails and kept crackling and grinning like Freddy Krueger because he had 6 years to practice it because he was so poor. I was a very cool monster with eyeballs on springs popping from my purple head. Lori kept talking in a weird vampire voice. I'm going to try to imitate that when she talks next. Mm-hmm. Where's Chris? Nathan asked, looking around. Is he meeting us here? Yeah, where is he? Lori demanded in her cool vampire voice. We were all a little tense. We were playing a mean trick on Chris, but we knew he'd feel good about things by the end of the night. The doorbell rang and we all ran to answer it. Chris stood in the porch light, his face an ugly green. He raised both hands to show them to us. They were covered in green too. What are you supposed to be? A pea pod? I joked. Chris looked hurt. No, I'm a corpse. Very scary, I said. I handed out trick-or-treat bags. Let's get going. I led the way down the driveway and up that motherfucking street. We stopped at several houses and collected candy. It was a cool, windy night with a tiny sliver of a moon. Guests. It doesn't say guests. Gusts of wind kept fluttering our costumes and making our trick-or-treat bags fly up. We were approaching the house on Willow Hill. I had a heavy feeling in my stomach, most likely diarrhea. My hands suddenly felt ice cold. I hope Chris can stay in the house for a whole hour, I thought. He's such a nice guy. I'd like him to be in the club. I have such strange feelings about him. I just want to be in a club with him so bad and hang out with him. Just me and him in a house alone. So physical. Such a nice guy. And we are both about to do... And we are about to do such a mean thing to him. And his areas. But he'll quickly get over it, I told myself. And he'll be glad we made him test his bravery. The eerie house came into view. I saw Chris glance at it, then quickly turned across the street. He didn't want to go near it, especially on Halloween night. But Nathan and I grabbed him by the arms. Chris cried out in surprise. Hey, let go! What are you guys doing? This is all...
very rapey.
Very rapey. Chris struggled to pull free. That line didn't help. But Nathan and I were much bigger than him. And stronger. Damn it! Lori led the way over the bare dirt yard, up the sloping hill to the dark, silent house. Chris tried to swing both arms, tried desperately to break free. Fuck! Tried desperately to break free. But Nathan and I dragged him onto the tilting porch, up to the front door, and presumably up his back door. No, please, Chris pleaded. Please don't do it. Don't. I have no comment to make. I turned to him. Even under the green makeup, I could see the terror on his face. The poor guy was totally freaked. Chris, you'll be okay, I said softly, smoothly, smelling his hair. Go inside. It'll be fun. We'll wait for you. I promise. You'll be proud of yourself. Oh, you'll be proud of yourself, Lori told him, back in her sweet vampire voice, helping to push him up to the door. And then you'll be in the club. Lori started to push open the heavy door. Nathan and I moved to shove Chris inside, but to my surprise, he reached out and grabbed my arm. Come in with me, please, he begged. I was so tempted to leave the with out of that one. Just come in me, please, he begged. But it says with. His eyes wide with fright. Please, I'm too scared. I'm just too scared. He held on tightly to my arm. Let's all go in together, okay? I glanced at Lori and Nathan. No way. I replied, you've got to prove your bravery, Chris. See you in an hour. We gave him a hard shove inside the house. Then we slammed the heavy door behind him. He seems so scared, Lori said, her voice muffled by the vampire fangs. He'll be okay, I said. Let's wait for him down by the street. We took our places at the bottom of the driveway and waited. And waited. We checked our watches after 10 minutes, after 20 minutes, after half an hour. It doesn't say it presumably, but also after 40 minutes. You know, they seem to check them every 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I could extrapolate that 10 minutes later, they'd also check it. Chris is doing great, I whispered, my eyes on the dark windows of the house. I didn't think he'd last 2 minutes. He's a lot braver than I thought, Nathan said from behind his Freddy Krueger mask, which was just masking tape put on his face. He's so poor. We huddled close together, staring up at the house as the wind shook the trees all around us. Heavy clouds rolled over the moon, covering us in darkness. We waited 10 minutes more, then 10 minutes more. You know where that puts us, right? 50 minutes. It's 10 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna do it, I said, checking my watch again. He's gonna stay in there for a whole hour. Let's really give him a big cheer when he comes out, Lordy suggested. As the hour ended, we counted off the last 30 seconds out loud, one by one. Then we took a few steps up the driveway, eager to congratulate Chris and welcome him to the Danger Club. But the front door didn't open. The house remained dark and silent. 10 more minutes passed. I think he's showing off, I said. No one laughed. We kept our eyes raised to the house. 10 more minutes passed. Then, how many more do you think? 10 more fucking minutes, you're right! Where is he? I cried shrilly like a little bitch. Something is wrong, Lori said, taking the plastic vampire fangs out of her mouth. From now on, I'm not doing that Lori voice anymore because she's concerned.
Okay.
Something is wrong, Robbie. That's my girl voice.
Much better.
Thank you. Chris should be out of there by now, Nathan agreed in a trembling voice. I felt a chill run down my back. All of my muscles were tightening in dread. I knew my friends were right. Something bad had happened inside that fucking house. Something very bad. We have to go in there, Lori urged. We have to find Chris. We have to get him out. All three of us exchanged frightening glances. We didn't want to walk up that driveway. We didn't want to go inside that dark house. Do you know what this is?
Drink break?
It's not a drinking break. It's a cheat one. I'm just drinking. My throat hurts from reading.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Problem solved. But we didn't have a choice. Maybe we should wait a few more minutes, I suggested, trying to stop my legs from shaking. Maybe he doesn't have a watch. Maybe he's... Come on, Robbie. Lori gave me a hard tug. Chris isn't coming out. No, that one's not as good. We have to go get him. The wind swirled around us, fluttering our costumes as we made our way up to the front door. I started to open the door. But my hand was so sweaty, the doorknob slid under my grasp. I take back that scree sound. It was more of just a... I don't know how to make a sound of a sweaty hand on brass. Exactly what she did. Finally, Nathan and I pushed open the heavy door. The rusty hinges, that's a sex move he was planning on doing to Chris, creaked as we opened the door and peered into the solid blackness. Chris, I called. Chris, you can come out now. My voice sounded tiny and hollow. No reply. Chris? Chris? Where are you? All three of us began calling him. The floor groaned and creaked beneath us as we took a few steps into the living room. More like the dying room. The wind rattled the old window panes. Chris, can you hear us? Chris? No reply. A loud crash made all three of us cry out, "Aye!" The front door had slammed behind us. Just the wind, guys, I choked out. It was much darker with the door closed, but it didn't stay dark for long. Pale light flickered at the top of the stairs. It looked at first like dozens of fireflies clustered together. I gasped as the light flared brighter and floated down the stairs like a shimmering cloud. "Let's get out!" I cried. Too late. The shimmering cloud spread around us, and inside it, I saw two frightening figures. A ghostly man and woman, hazy and transparent except for their red, glowing eyes. They must have been smoking on the same shit as you, girl. Damn! Their terrifying eyes sparkled like fiery coals as they circled us, floating silently. I can see right through both of them, I realized. This house really is haunted. Where's Chris? I managed to blurt out. The man's voice was a dry whisper, the sound of wind through dead leaves. "Your friend, he went out the back door," the ghost replied, "about an hour ago."
"We didn't want to let him go,"
the woman whispered, her red eyes glowing brighter.
"But he made a bargain with us,"
she snickered, a dry, dead laugh.
"He promised that if we let him go, three kids would come in to take his place."
"And here you are," said the ghostly man, flashing an ugly, toothless smile. "Here you are."
"Don't look so frightened, kids,"
the woman rasped, floating closer.
"You might as well make yourselves at home. You're all going to be here
forever, motherfuckers!" The end. That was kind of a hacky ghost story. Haunted house. Kids go in. Yep, it's haunted. Dead. It's not much to that, right?
No, not really.
Huh. Can I read you these one every night? Like the, what is the, what's Aladdin from? Arabian Nights. How many nights is there? 1,001? Which cat's on me, Yoda? Hi, Yodi. Mm-hmm. Anyway, every single night.
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry about the stupid laughing, though. I can't help
no,
it.
No, you were good. You were good.
I can't help it.
Thank you.
You're funny.
Oh, stop it. I love you. All right. I don't know if I should end I might as well just do the normal sign-off. Do you know what the normal sign-off is?
I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Stay spooky, bitches. All right, are you ready? It's
I'm
recording.
Ready.
I'm recording now.
Oh, sorry.
I love you.
I love you too.
This one is called. What was that look?
You're gonna delete all that part, right?
No, I'm gonna leave all this in.
Why?
Fuck the police.
God.
Teacher's Pet by R.L. Stine. Do you like snakes? Unfucking believable. We're going in order here, by the way. This is just the second one. I'm just going to go into it.
Okay.
Not into the book, into the story of why that's funny.
Oh, okay.
So Connie, my girlfriend, hi Connie.
Hi.
Got a snake today, a little baby snake. Well, Connie, what is my most hated kind of animal on the planet?
Snakes.
It's snakes. I fucking hate snakes. Everything about them. And now I live with one. But the point is, what is the fucking chance of the book coming with the first sentence, "Do you like snakes?"
Probably one in a million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to answer that in my own way, fuck no. Do you like snakes, Conchetta?
Yes.
Oh, she does. Alright, that's just baffling, yes?
Yes.
Alright, I'll get into the reading, sorry. Do you like snakes? If you're in Mr. Blankenship's class, you have to like snakes. Or you're in major trouble. Guess I'd be in trouble. Let me start at the beginning. On the first day of school last September, Benji, my best friend, was shouting to me from my front porch, "Becca, move it! We'll be late!" I grabbed my black denim jacket and tucked my ponytail under my New York Yankees baseball cap. I hurried, even though I knew Benji would never leave without me. Benji and I walked to school together every morning since kindergarten. Some people think it's weird that a girl and a guy are best friends. I don't think it's weird at all, I just think he's a homosexual. But Benji and I don't care. We've always liked to do the same sort of stuff, like play basketball, baseball, cook, and kiss boys. Benji would kill me if he knew I told anyone about that. The parentheses were about the cooking one, obviously. Mm-hmm. I added the kissing boys in, but it was funny that they added that aside. Mm-hmm. Benji and I were starting sixth grade at our school. Sixth graders get to do great stuff, like go on a camp out for a whole week. We were supposed to have Miss Wenger this year, the coolest teacher in the whole school. Miss Wenger is the kind of teacher who takes the whole class inline skating so that when someone falls down, she can talk to us about gravity. That seems like a hack fucking reason to do stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm teaching all you kids chemistry at a meth lab. That seems like a stretch. That seems like a bad teacher, too. Benji and I figured this would be just about the best school year ever. So, you can imagine our surprise when we walked into our classroom and saw the teacher writing his name on the board. The teacher wasn't Miss Wenger. It was a man named Mr. Blankenship. Benji and I both groaned in disappointment. Mr. Blankenship was a strange-looking dude. He was really, really tall and really, really skinny. He was almost completely bald. Gross, no one will ever love him. His clothes were pretty bad, too. Especially the weird turtleneck sweater he was wearing with the beige, brown, and black diamonds all over it. He greeted Benji and me at the door and asked us our names. "I'm Becca Thompson," I said. That's me. Mm-hmm. Becca Thompson sounds exactly like me. Mm-hmm. "Benji Connor," Benji said. Benji also sounds exactly like me. There's a lot of people in these Goosebumps books that just happen to sound exactly like me.
Yeah.
"I'm just getting things together right now. Why don't you two join the others and take a tour around the room?" Mr. Blankenship suggested, also sounding just like me. The room looked pretty dull. Not cool the way Miss Wenger would have done it. Mr. Blankenship had set up the typical stuff. Reading corner, computer room, tarred cage, and a corny welcome back bulletin board. The only unusual things were the 5 or 6 glass tanks placed around the classroom. I walked over to one of the tanks and pressed my nose up against the glass. Not much to see. Some rocks, a pile of dried glass, a stick, and I uttered a shriek. Then I just stood there pointing at the long, skinny, hissing creature. I hate snakes. I can't help it. I just hate them.
I know you hate snakes.
I didn't add that. That's just God, seriously, seeing all those tanks gave me so much fucking anxiety.
Oh my God. Well, there's only one in here. And your dog's a dick.
My dog's an angel. Franklin! Come here and be an angel. I hate those tiny black eyes that sort of stare right through you. That's what scares me the most, the eyes. I wanted to turn away from the snake's angry glare, but I couldn't. I seemed to be paralyzed, frozen stiff, and my heart was pounding so hard I thought it was going to pop out of my chest. Sometimes I freak out that it isn't recording. It was Benji who broke the snake's spell over me. He came over and shoved me out of the way to get a better view. "Oh, a snake," he said calmly, but I knew that Benji is just as afraid of snakes as I am. "I see you've met one of my little pets," Mr. Blankenship said to us, smiling. "We're going to study snakes this year. Fascinating creatures." "Fascinating," he lied. Leaning over the cage, Mr. Blankenship turned to me. Did you know that snakes can live for months without food? Of course, they'd much rather swallow a little mouse instead. Watch. He reached into a smaller cage hidden behind a bookshelf and grabbed a small white mouse by the tail. The mouse tried to wiggle free, but Mr. Blankenship held tight to its slender pink-ass tail and shit. He dangled the thrashing, wriggling mouse over the snake's tank for a few seconds. Then he dropped it right next to the snake because he doesn't subscribe to Dune's theory that we should never sacrifice mammals for reptiles because mammals are superior in every way and eventually there's going to be a war between all of us. I subscribe to that. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking a Pacifico, by the way. I was just drinking Steel Reserve. I didn't want to watch, but I couldn't help myself. The snake snapped open its jaws and swallowed the little white mouse whole. I let out a groan as I watched the pink tail slide past the snake's teeth like a paschetti noodle. I really felt sick to my stomach, but there was no way I was giving Mr. Blankenship the satisfaction of knowing that he totally gave me diarrhea. Who's next? Mr. Blankenship asked, rubbing his long, slender hands together. Who's hungry? That's when I realized that all of the cages in the room were filled with Mr. Blankenship's slimy, slithering, hissing little pals. And Connie, what is this right here?
A drinking break.
It is a drinking break, exactly. You can have some of your water. I'm leaving that in. That wasn't really a manly burp, was it? No, not at all. No. Benji and I tried to lick Mr. Blankenship's claps, but it wasn't easy. For one thing, he kept adding more and more snakes. Soon, one entire wall was filled with glass tanks, like the live show of Pink Floyd's The Wall, but instead of bricks, it's snakes. And instead of knocking them down, he's adding them up. It's like watching the live show of Pink Floyd's The Wall backwards, but with snakes. The snakes slithered silently. Their black eyes followed Mr. Blankenship. There are more snakes than kids in here, I whispered to Benji one day. It seemed as if Mr. Blankenship could talk about nothing else. In science, we studied about the hatching of snake eggs. For history, we studied about ancient beliefs in serpents. For geometry, we made chalk drawings of snake skin patterns. They're really going snake crazy, huh? Mm-hmm. That's the school you want to go to, huh? Snake Town Elementary Snake? Fuck that noise. I want to go to Mammalville, Mammary Gland, Boobtown. Boobtown? Titburg.
Oh my god.
One enormous glass cage behind Mr. Blankenship's desk stood empty. Benji and I wondered what he planned to put in there. A giant python, Benji guessed. I shuddered. I didn't want to think about that shit. Every time I peered into a glass cage and saw a snake staring back at me, I panicked. So do I. I knew that snakes hated being cooped up in those tanks. Something in their eyes told me that if they ever got out, they would go for the first human being they saw with a beard and a girl's piercing and a weird kind of pompadour haircut and they like Steel Reserve a lot and just want to peck his fucking eyes out. I hoped it wasn't me. What's that? It's a drinking break again. Mm-hmm. Indicates time has passed. Mm. One night, I was lying in bed. Oh, fuck. I'm lying in bed tonight. Trying to get to sleep. Pale moonlight washed over my room. From the open window, I saw a shadow move against the wall. Uttering a frightened gasp, I clicked on my bed table lamp and saw a snake slithering out of my backpack onto the floor. No! How had it escaped from its tank?
How had it crept into my backpack? How had it undone the zipper and the Velcro? And maybe it got into my Hello Kitty diary where I talked about how I think that my best friend's gay? Frozen in terror, I watched it slither over my shag rug, making its way to my bed. Kind of like the vine in Evil Dead. I hope it doesn't have the same impact. I screamed and forced myself to sit up. I tried to scramble away, but I felt something warm and dry curl around my arm. Oh no, psoriasis! No, it's probably the snake, actually. Never mind, scratch that. I was making this weird gasping sound. I felt something like a rope tighten around my ankle. Probably a sick anklet. This was in the 90s. Can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
You know the 99 cent store in OB?
Okay.
I rocked until it fell off.
On the corner?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was like 11 from that store.
Okay.
An anklet with a yin yang.
Oh my god.
So I was like 11, so that would have been 97.
So cool.
Till it fell off. A whole summer rocking an anklet of a yin yang. It was blue.
That's tight.
Should I kill myself?
I think it's a little late.
Another snake slithered over my pillow. Two more snakes crawled over the pajama legs. Help! My frantic plea escaped my lips in a hushed whisper. The snakes tightened themselves around me, curling around my waist, my arms, my legs. One of them slithered through my hair. It was like Dune's fantasies on DMT. I started to shudder and shake. I shook so hard I woke myself up. What a horrible nightmare. It was all just a dream, like every goddamn Goosebumps books. Mr. Blanketship and his room full of snakes were ruining my life. What can I do? Drinking break.
By the way, the last Goosebumps I read had a dream inside of a dream, like Inception.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is a fucking dream inside of a dream. I quit reading these forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and then it was all a dream inside of a dream. And then I continued reading it because I don't have integrity. Also, what else am I going to do?
The next day, I tried to switch my seat to one far away from the snake tanks, but the tanks were everywhere. On the shelves, on the tables, stacked along the window ledges. Every day there seemed to be more of them. I tried hard not to think about the snakes around the room. I tried to concentrate on my geography lesson, the snakes of New Mexico. Oh my. But just as Mr. Blankenship began to discuss the heat of the desert, I heard a thud. Then Melissa Potter, no relation, let out a shrill scream.
I'm sorry, she cried. I bumped a cage. I let out one of the mice.
God, Melissa Potter, she's so annoying sounding.
Annoying bitch.
Such an annoying bitch.
Where did it go? Mr. Blankenship cried excitedly.
There it goes,
Benji cried, pointing. The little white mouse scampered across the floor. Kids screamed and laughed, but Mr. Blankenship had a serious, angry expression on his face. Grab it quick, he shouted.
It's over here,
Carl Jansen pointed to the window with one of his tubby little chubby-ass fingers.
I added that to give more character to Carl Jansen.
Mr. Blankenship always left that window open so his snake pals could get some fresh air. Mr. Blankenship dived across the room. The mouse scuttled over the window ledge. Mr. Blankenship grabbed for the tail. Missed. The mouse vanished out the window. Our teacher turned beet red, like an engine. Even the top of his bald head was red. Red head, bald head, red. Now, look what you've done, he screamed at Melissa. You've let a perfectly good snake dinner get away. You will all have to be taught more to... You will all have to be taught to be more careful, Mr. Blankenship bellowed after stuttering like a tardo. Perhaps an extra homework assignment will help you remember. I want 3 pages on the feeding habits of the Eastern Diamondback Rattler, and I want it tomorrow.
Remember when you got home from your camping trip a couple days ago, And then we watched the new episode of Simpsons, and it was all, like, camping-related. Mm-hmm. It is bizarre that that happened. And then a couple days later, now I'm reading Goosebumps, which there hasn't really been a Goosebumps about snakes ever. Mm-hmm. And it's all about snakes when you get one. That's fucking bizarre.
I agree.
All right, I just want you to agree with me. What is his problem? I whispered to Benji. Becca! Mr. Blankenship shouted. I heard that. You will write a 10-page essay, but, I sputtered, and you will clean the snake cages for the next 2 weeks, Mr. Blankenship added. I clamped my hand over my mouth to keep myself from getting in even worse trouble, but I was so angry. I could have let out all the mice out of all their cages. You know, like, goddamn. Like the Americans freeing the Jews after 1945, you know what I'm saying? Let my people go. I think that was Moses, huh?
I think so.
Let my... Okay. Which gave me a great idea. Benji, I whispered when Mr. Blankenship had turned away. After school, my house, get ready for... Operation Mouse Rescue. Ooh. By the way, R.L. Stein on this one should sue Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
The Jew Hunter. He compares them to rats. You gotta think like a rat and stuff. They're all trying to liberate it. Yoda, please don't walk on this. Stay with mommy. But you know what I'm saying? It's pretty yes. much, it's, this is pretty much the same story as Inglourious Basterds. By the way, I wasn't just drinking because I wanted to. It was a drinking break. Later, after school, Benji and I worked out all the deets. It says details, but you know. Operation Mouse Rescue would take place on Thursday night after our parents went to play bridge. The plan was simple. Simple, but sexcellent. Benji and I were going to sneak into the school and set all of the white mice free and leave the black ones in their cages. Just kidding. We could just picture Mr. Blankenship's face when he arrived Friday morning and found the mice scampering all over the room. Thursday seemed to be a stretch. Thursday just kept on fucking going. I barely heard a word Mr. Blankenship said. I was too busy watching the clock, waiting for the bell to ring. I knew, no, I ate dinner with my family, but I don't... I need to slow down. There's people relying on me to get their goosebumps fixed. Mm-hmm. And this is an important thing I have to do. Not important enough for me to edit out when I fuck up, just to dwell on it. Mm-hmm. I know I ate dinner with my family, but... Don't ask me what we had. All I could think about was Operation Mouse Rescue. Finally, my parents said goodbye, left all the right phone numbers, and drove off to their bridge tournament. It didn't take long before Benji gave me our secret signal. A single ring of the telephone. Ring. That's what it would have sounded like. My heart pounded. I pulled on my black jeans and dark jacket like Conchetta and raced up the block to Benji's house. He was waiting for me at the bottom of the driveway. What took you so long? He demanded like a jerkwad. You're not wimping out, are you? No way, I replied. Although, I suddenly felt as if I had white mice fluttering around in my stomach. Let's go. That's when I take Imodium.
Oh, yeah.
Feels like white mice are in my stomach. Mm-hmm. Ow. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Half walking, half jogging. Ooh, they invented the power walk. We made our way to school. It was a cool, breezy night. The trees shivered, shedding fat brown leaves. Shadows twisted and bent over our path as we crept up to the dark school building. Around the back, I whispered. The school seemed so much larger. Around the back, I whispered. The school seemed so much larger, so much scarier at night, bathed in total blackness. We found our classroom. Benji clicked on the flashlight. Oh, shit, here's my... Wait. Because these are short. right?
Okay.
Here's my guess at what the ending's gonna be. A possible spoiler alert if I'm right. The giant cage, they didn't know what it was for, and they're wondering what slept in it. Their teacher did like a snake, or maybe you became a snake. That's my assumption.
Okay.
Benji clicked on his flashlight. No, turn it off, I instructed. Someone may see us. He obediently clicked off the light like a little bitch. We spotted the open window. The window in the corner that Mr. Blankenship always leaves open. My hands felt so cold and wet as I grabbed the stone window ledge and pulled myself up. Inside the room, I turned and helped Benji in that motherfucking room. It's so dark, he whispered, huddling close to me. Can't we turn on the flashlights? Okay, I whispered back, but keep the light down on the floor. Our circles of yellow light swept over the floor. Slowly, we made our way to the table that held the mice cages. The floorboards creaked under our sneakers. I glanced nervously around the room. Tiny lights flickered in the blackness. It took me a long moment to realize they weren't lights. They were glowing snake eyes.
Ooh.
Do snake eyes glow?
I
don't think any eyes glow. Oh, because the flashlights.
Yeah, they might get a little shiny.
They're watching us, I whispered to Benji. The snake's there. So many glowing eyes, so many snakes all around us, staring. I forgot to watch where I was going. I stumbled over a chair. Ow, I cried out. I tried to catch my balance, but I fell against the table. A glass tank toppled to the floor with a shattering crash. I glanced down in time to see two snakes slither onto the floor. They uncurled in the trembling light of my flashlight, then moved quickly toward my legs. Benji, help! I thrashed out my arms. I turned to run and knocked over another snake cage, like some sort of retarded version of the Three Stooges. But Benny Hill music isn't Three Stooges. A long black snake rolled silently onto the floor, arced itself up, opened its jaws, and shot its head towards me. Run! I shrieked. Benji, the snakes are out! Who let the snakes out? This broad. This is the broad that let the snakes out. How? Benji started. Well, you don't understand, Benji. I'm a Riri. I just knock things over comically all the time. And then I stand up, then I knock another thing over. It's slapstick comedy. You'll probably like Dumb and Dumber, too, if you like that sort of thing. I jumped as a snake slithered between my feet. We turned to run, but stopped as our lights played over the enormous, empty case. Which wasn't empty anymore.
Uh-oh.
That's me saying, oh, snap.
A giant gray and a black cobra glared into the shaking lights. The cobra arced its head up, opened its jaws, and hissed at us, its red eyes gleaming excitedly. When did the snake get in there? I asked myself. The cage was empty this afternoon. Run! I stammered, grabbing Benji's shoulder, but neither of us could move. We stood staring in frozen horror at the enormous cobra that just rose up like a motherfucker, lifted itself up out of that motherfucking cage. It stood over us, at least 6 feet tall. Remember, the teacher was tall too and skinny, I'm just saying. Its eyes glowing, its thick tongue flickering and doing shit and weird snake stuff over its open jaws. And as it rose up, its skin shifted and stretched. Its head tilted up. Its body grew wide, grew arms, legs. And we recognized that motherfucker. We saw him. We knew him. We knew we were staring at Mr. Blankenship.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit indeed, boo.
You called it.
Uh-huh. The snake was Mr. Blankenship. No! Did that terrified howl escape my throat? Or was it Benji howling like some earthly creature? I only knew that we turned and ran. Whoop, 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 whoop. dived out through the open window into the dark night and kept on running, running, till we were safe at home. Safe. Safe from snakes. Dune wished he was safe from snakes at home, but no! Safe from the biggest snake, Mr. Blankenship.
Are you gonna keep glaring at me? I'll keep reading.
But safe for how long? Safe till we had returned to school the next morning? Trembling with fright, Benji and I hesitated at the classroom door on Friday morning. What would Mr. Blankenship do to us now that he knew we knew his horrible secret? What would he say?
What would he say, Connie? Are you not talking to me?
I don't know what he would say.
We'll find out. He smiled as Benji and I entered and didn't say a word.
You want to deal with the S sound? Mm-hmm. I elongated it like what?
Like a snake.
Like a snake. The day went by like any other day. He didn't say a word about what had happened the night before until the final bell rang in the afternoon. He dismissed the rest of the class, then turned to Benji and me. I want you two to stay. By the way, the book doesn't have these S's going along. I'm just doing that.
Oh.
Because I'm an artist.
Uh-huh.
He said sternly. He moved quickly to block the doorway. We are alone with him now. He closed the door and moved toward us, rubbing his slender hands together, his dark eyes glowing excitedly. Mr. Blankenship isn't such a bad guy. He made us a deal. He said he wouldn't tell anyone we broke into the school, and he promised not to harm us as long as we didn't tell anyone his secret.
Because the S sound. It's, okay.
Of course, Benji and I quickly agreed. There's just one part of the deal that I hate. We have to bring in white mice and feed him every afternoon. I really hate the way the mice wiggle and squirm as I hold them up by their pink tails. But what choice do I have? A deal's a deal. Here you go, Mr. Blankenship. Open wide.
The end. So the teacher's a snake and they have to feed the teacher mice.
Are you going to have nightmares now?
Nope. Just going to take Benadryl.
Okay.
Yep. What'd you think about that one? And what do you think about this Tales to Give You Goosebumps thing?
I like them.
Do you want to be on everyone? Because I'm going to do two per episode like we just kind of did. I'm going to turn the mic a little bit so you can be heard a little bit more. Do you want to be on each one though?
If you want me to.
Because when you aren't here, I can just record normal Goosebumps.
Okay.
I kind of like the back and forth between us.
Okay.
I don't like the snake stuff because it's kind of an open wound right now.
Uh-huh.
It's very sensitive, but
uh-huh.
I fucking hate snakes and
I
you just got
that.
One.
You've told me a million times.
I know I've told you a million times. But my point is, it's bizarre that just came up, right?
Yeah.
All right. What time is it? You want to go sleepy night-night or you want to watch something?
I don't know. Or...
You
are we
going
to discuss this with millions of other people?
Millions? It's fucking Dune Reads Goosebumps. If there were millions of people, I would have been sued. Not that anything I'm doing is wrong. It's all in the parody. Leave me alone, Scholastic. You want to watch The Soup?
Sure.
I love you, Bill.